So I'm Sarah Fender, Principal Program Manager in the Cloud and Enterprise Security Engineering Group. I'm going to start today's discussion with a bit of a provocative prediction by Gartner. So they expect that through the year 2020, 95% of cloud security failures will be the customer's fault. Just let that sink in for just a minute. 95%. So why is that? Well, the trust dynamics in the cloud have really shifted. You know, early on in a customer's journey to the cloud, they were really concerned with whether they could trust their cloud service provider. And so they would ask us questions about what certifications we had achieved and what we were doing to securely manage the Azure platform. But we've really seen that those discussions pivot away from certifications and to features. So it's still, of course, absolutely critical that we deliver a trusted cloud platform. And this starts with security from the ground up with our physical data centers and up through defense in depth, which we use to harden the Azure platform and monitor for threats. We, of course, make strong commitments about the privacy of our customers' data, and we enable you to control where your data resides and who has access to it. We provide transparency into our operational and security practices, and we achieve a range of third-party certifications, which attest that we're following those processes on an ongoing basis. But we're not stopping there. You'll see a significant new investment is in building out capabilities that enable you, our customers, to better secure the data and applications and infrastructure that you're running on top of the Azure platform. And that starts with a range of encryption capabilities from the Azure Key Vault service to new storage encryption capabilities that have been released. Secure networking capabilities, virtual networks and network security groups, as well as the ability to securely connect your on-prem environments into the cloud. Identity and access controls, a range of partner solutions which are available through the Azure Marketplace. We see a continually growing set of security products and services that are available through that marketplace. And then the focus of our discussion today, which is Azure Security Center, which really aims to bring together those different security capabilities to provide central security management and monitoring, and then add significant new capabilities on top of that. So why is cloud security challenging for organizations? First is that management of these cloud resources is increasingly distributed across the organization. And those physical networks, which really used to provide the boundary and really were the focus of security professionals, they really were just focused on hardening that network perimeter. Those really have dissolved. Yet CIOs and CISOs are still ultimately on the hook for the security of these cloud environments. These environments are much more dynamic in many ways than on-prem environments, right? So we've got resources that are spinning up and down on a regular basis. And in the cloud, we're talking about securing PaaS services as well. So it's not just servers or virtual machines, which many of you likely have a handle on how to secure on-prem today. And then finally, security organizations unfortunately bring a lot of the same security challenges that they face on-prem with them to the cloud, which is that many of them have deployed a number of different disconnected partner technologies. I think the latest number I heard was that on average in large organizations, they've deployed more than 30 different security products and services. So you can imagine the management complexity that adds. Many of you maybe are facing those challenges. In addition to that, most of those solutions are emitting alerts and signals that are creating a lot of noise. Someone has to triage and respond to all of those alerts, and that can be pretty challenging from not only a resource, but an expertise perspective. And then, of course, meanwhile, threats are becoming much more sophisticated and much more targeted and much more advanced all of the time, requiring us to really rethink our approach to security, to take a more data-driven, analytics-driven approach. So just as management of cloud workloads is increasingly distributed across the organization, so are security responsibilities. So if we look at who within the organization is tasked with security, first, of course, it continues to be the CIO or the CISO or the CSO, those organizations that have traditionally had responsibility for security. And that starts, of course, at the top, with Ellen in this example, who's ultimately responsible for security. She needs to understand the company's security and risk posture and ensure the right protections are in place. Within our organization, there's generally an IT security professional represented here by David. So what's David's job? He's responsible for ensuring that workloads, including those cloud workloads, have the necessary security controls in place, that they are complying with the organization's security and compliance policies. David's role, though, has shifted a bit in this new cloud era. So it used to be that he had ultimate control. He could sort of lock down and ensure that directly that these security controls are in place. But we see that role is really shifting, and the focus is more on providing guardrails for workload owners who are managing these cloud environments. Then there's Judy and Sam, both in the security operations side of the organization. And they're tasked with responding to all of these alerts, being able to quickly triage them, investigate, and determine the root source of those, and so that that environment can be restored and we can mitigate the damages that are done. And then what's a bit new in the cloud environment is this role on the left here, so Jeff. So Jeff's a cloud workload owner, maybe in some sort of a DevOps sort of role. So he's ultimately responsible for the security, the day-to-day security of these cloud workloads that he manages, but he may not necessarily be a security expertise or a security expert. And in many cases, he's not. Probably comes from more of an operations or development background. But on a day-to-day basis, he's responsible for ensuring the security of these workloads. And in fact, he may have to go through some kind of an approval process working with David to ensure that he's got the right controls in place before he launches his application or his workload in the cloud. So there can be some gating elements there if he doesn't have those security controls in place. And then, of course, across all of these different roles, there are existing processes and tools that are in place to manage operations and IT security, and so that's a factor as well. So I share this with you because as we walk through Security Center, we'll be talking a bit about how Security Center can help to address these needs of these different kinds of roles, security roles and responsibilities across the organization. So let's jump in and talk about Security Center, which helps to unlock cloud opportunities. First, it does so by providing that very, very important visibility and control. You know, this is the number one concern that I hear from customers. They fear that when they move to the cloud, they're going to take a step back in terms of visibility and control. So Security Center provides one unified view of security across all of your subscriptions, making it easy to understand your organization's security posture. It provides integrated security event logging and monitoring, including alerts from partner solutions, and provides a number of different mechanisms to access this data. So we'll be spending a lot of time today looking at the Azure portal. We'll be doing a demo of the solution there. But we also offer APIs, Power BI dashboards, and a SIEM connector that makes it easy to integrate these security insights into your existing workflows and tools. Also help to enable security at cloud speed. So helping those Jeff's role, so those cloud workload owners, to implement the needed security controls by providing policy-driven recommendations that really guide them through the process of addressing any vulnerabilities that were identified. And then finally, helping to keep up with cyber threats. So taking an analytics-driven approach, constantly monitoring your Azure environments and detecting threats. So let's first talk about how Azure Security Center can help specifically with hardening of your cloud workloads to prevent a breach. I'm sure I saw a number of times today in the keynotes this morning, you know, this protect, detect, respond approach, and so we're going to focus first on those things that we need to do to harden our environment to help prevent a breach. So Security Center makes it easy for you to identify and remediate vulnerabilities, first by providing visibility and control across all of your Azure subscriptions. It enables you to set security policies, which you can tailor based on the needs of a particular subscription or a particular workload. So as we know, not all workloads require the same level of security. You may have an application that has PII or regulated data, and you want to require encryption for that, let's say, but not necessarily for every workload running in Azure. So you can tailor the policy a bit based on the needs, again, of your organization or the needs of a subscription or a particular workload within that subscription. And so once you do that, continuous monitoring is going on. So we're monitoring the environment and resources even as they change. So as new resources are added or virtual network configurations are changed, the Security Center service is constantly monitoring your environment, comparing it to the security policies that were set, and making it really, really easy to identify vulnerabilities or security issues that exist within those environments. So when it finds something, it creates an actionable recommendation. So within a couple of clicks, in most cases, you can remediate whatever vulnerability was found. And we'll talk a bit more about what those specific vulnerabilities are in just a moment. And that includes, as part of that remediation, not only deploying solutions that are built into Azure, but also from an ecosystem of integrated partner solutions. So things like firewalls or anti-malware or endpoint protection solutions. Just today, we released integration with third-party vulnerability assessment solutions, and we'll continue to grow out that ecosystem. So making it easy for you to remediate using a mix of controls built in and from partners. So I'm going to spend, as I said, a lot of time today in the demo, and we'll just go ahead and jump right in and take a look at that. Keep in mind, though, as we work through this, those two roles. So there's David, who's sort of responsible for IT security policy, ensuring compliance, and Jeff, who's just trying to manage his workload on a day-to-day basis. So keep those roles in mind as we walk through the demo. Okay, interesting. So I'm going to have to demo from the screen in front. So might be a little awkward. We'll give it a shot, though. So what we're looking at here is the Azure portal. And you can see that I've pinned the Security Center tile to my start board. You can also access it from the left menu here. And if it isn't today, in the next few days, it'll be automatically pinned to that for you. So you'll have ready access to it. So we're going to go ahead and launch Security Center, which is going to give us, again, this one central view of security across all of your subscriptions. If you wanted to, you could filter that to just view information about a particular subscription. So you can see I have it filtered here to the Security Center demo, but again, you could select one or more or all of your subscriptions if you wanted to look across all of those. So we're going to start by taking a look at that security policy. And we can set that security policy, as I mentioned earlier, at the subscription level. But we can also set that at the resource group level. So when we define that at the subscription level, it's automatically inherited by all of the resource groups within our subscription. But as I mentioned earlier, you can set a custom policy for a particular resource group if needed. We're going to take a look, though, at the subscription level policy. And you'll see at the top of that policy is data collection. So there's an awful lot that we can know about your Azure environment because we are your cloud service provider. So we know how your virtual networks are configured. We know how your SQL databases are configured. We know a lot about the security of your environment. But there's some additional information that it's super helpful for us to get from inside your virtual machines. Things like security configurations, also the raw security event logs from that machine, which can provide insight into potential threats. So turning on data collection will enable us to collect those additional insights from your virtual machines. And that data is stored in your storage account and can be configured per region. So I know for many organizations, it's important to keep your data in the same region as the virtual machine that it was collected from. And so you can configure Security Center to do that. And then from within the prevention policy, you can see here that we can turn on and off a set of controls here. So again, if encryption was important for a particular environment, you could turn that on. Maybe you have a development environment where a WAF isn't necessarily required. So you can, again, tune the policy based on the needs of the workload. You can also configure email notifications. So if Security Center detects a high severity threat, it can send you an email, and you can configure a particular email or email distribution group for that to go to. You can also opt to have it automatically emailed to your subscription owners. But we know that in Azure, the subscription owner is not always the right security contact within the organization. And so you have the ability to specify a custom email address or a specific email address that you want those notifications to go to.
Does that data collection require a client?
So there's a question about whether the data collection requires a client, and it does install a lightweight agent on virtual machines, and that's what it uses to collect those security configurations and event logs. And then we won't get into the pricing page much, but I will just to mention, so a lot of what we're going to look at today is free, built into the Azure service as a benefit of using the Azure platform. So the policy, the recommendations, the security configuration monitoring, all of that is available at no additional cost. So everyone should go turn on Security Center and get the benefit of that. It's free. You should use it. And then there's a paid version that enables some of the advanced detection capabilities that we'll be looking at. One other quick note on that, there is a 90-day free trial of the advanced version as well, so I encourage you to turn that on, at least give it a try, see what kinds of information and insights you might gain. Okay, so we've configured our security policy now, so we get the widest set of security insights across our environment. And we can see here that we've got some red related to our virtual machines, our networks, our data, and our applications. So this is my demo environment. Hopefully yours doesn't look like this. But we'll click in and take a look at what some of the issues are that have been identified here. Hello? There we go. Okay. So what we're looking at here in virtual machines are some issues that have been identified. And we can click in on any of these to learn more. So let's start at the top of the list with endpoint protection. So we can see here that some of our virtual machines don't have anti-malware or endpoint protection configured, which is certainly a kind of a security basic. And so we can select all of our virtual machines or just a subset of those, and we can install an anti-malware solution, either from Microsoft or one of our integrated partners, in just a couple of clicks. So really, really simplifies the process for provisioning anti-malware across multiple virtual machines. What's equally important, though, and we don't see here, is kind of behind the scenes, we'll see an example of it just in a moment, though, is that not only are we streamlining the provisioning experience, we're also automatically collecting security events from this solution. So we want to be able to provide you with insight into the security state, again, across all of your environments, including these partner solutions that you have deployed. It also enables us then to do some advanced analytics. So once we have this breadth of signals, we can correlate that and apply some additional analytics on top of it. And I'll show you an example of that in a moment. So we can help you make sure that you have endpoint protection enabled on all of your virtual machines. Once data collection has been enabled, it's important to have visibility into any issues there. So you can't, want to make sure that data continues to flow. So if any issues are identified with that data pipeline, that will be flagged as an issue here as well. Here, Security Center is monitoring virtual machines against a set of recommended baselines. So this is across Windows and Linux. I think there's 150 or so different OS configurations, which are recommended as the most hardened configuration for a particular operating system. And so what we're doing here is monitoring, kind of comparing configuration on your virtual machines against this set of recommendations. And any issues that are found are surfaced here, and we can click in to view additional information. So here we can see the description of the configuration, why it's important, so what is the vulnerability that this introduces. We can see the expected value and the actual value. Here we're monitoring for missing system security and critical updates, which really are, create significant kind of low-hanging fruit for significant vulnerabilities and are low-hanging fruit for attackers. Why would they invest in building out some new zero day when they can just target machines that haven't been patched for known vulnerabilities yet? So important for us to keep our systems up to date, but surprising how many machines are still out of date. And so we're looking for that, and if we find systems, again, with outdated or missing patches, and we're looking in particular at critical or security updates, and we'll surface those here along with details about the specific patch that's missing. We're also monitoring for Azure Disk Encryption. This is an Azure service that enables you to encrypt both the boot and the OS volume on your Azure virtual machines, both Windows and Linux. And so we're monitoring to see if that has been enabled and providing you with instructions and information on how to enable encryption if it's not turned on already for that virtual machine. Now, we're not just monitoring virtual machines, we're also monitoring cloud services. So in this case, we're looking for cloud service production roles that are running on outdated versions of the operating system. So again, keeping these systems patched and running the latest version is incredibly important, and so we surface that information for you here. And then we just rolled out today integration with vulnerability assessment solutions. So as you've seen, there's a lot of built-in vulnerability assessment that's being performed by Security Center. But we know that customers may, in many cases, want to also deploy a third-party vulnerability assessment solution to do more advanced vulnerability scanning. And so we've integrated with Qualys first. Others will be coming online in the near future. And so again, here, we're discovering machines that don't have the Qualys agent enabled. And within a couple of clicks, customers can either deploy a new instance of Qualys, or they can hook up this particular VM to an existing Qualys implementation that they already have running in their environment. So we can readily identify issues. We can click down to view more information about those, but we also get an inventory of all of our virtual machines. You'll notice this is a mix of Windows and Linux VMs, and also a mix of the classic and the new virtual machine stack as well. So you get a view of all of those, and we can click in to view additional information, kind of get at a glance an indicator as well on this screen. But if we click in, we can view additional information. So we can see information about what operating system is running, and down below we get information and insight into any recommendations or security issues that relate to this particular system. And then you'll note that we also have cloud services down below as well. So let's take a look at the networking side of things. So here we're monitoring first and foremost for the presence of network security groups. So network security groups are used to control inbound and outbound traffic. So definitely important that you have those configured and that you have inbound traffic rules configured. And so we're monitoring for both. And if we find any systems that don't have these enabled, within a couple of clicks, you can take action to deploy a network security group for the particular resource. We're also monitoring and making it easy for you to provision next generation firewalls. And so here we found some systems that do not have a firewall provisioned. And within a couple of clicks, the customer can provision a solution either from Microsoft or one of our integrated partners. You can see that we already have one instance of the next generation firewall up and running in our environment, so we can also connect it to this particular application to that. So you can have one firewall protecting multiple resources, and so we can either, again, provision a new or leverage one that already exists in our environment. In the very near future, we'll also be integrating some web application firewall technology that's available from Microsoft as well, that's built into Azure. So again, you'll see a mix of both Azure controls and those from partners as well. And then down below, we get a list, a view, kind of an inventory of all of our internet-facing endpoints. And then down below that, a list of all of our network resources. And again, just like with our virtual machines, we can click in to view additional information about this particular virtual network and the resources it contains. On the data side of things, we're monitoring Azure SQL databases. And this is the PaaS service as opposed to SQL databases running inside of virtual machines. And here we're monitoring for auditing and transparent data encryption. And so if we find a server or a database that does not have those configured, we provide a recommendation. And again, in a couple of clicks, the user can configure the recommended security control. And then finally, on the application side, So here we're monitoring for virtual machines that have exposed web endpoints. And again, we make it easy to provision solutions from Microsoft and from Microsoft and from partners. You can see a list of some of those here. Okay, so we've defined the security policy for our organization. We have monitored the security health. We've seen some issues that exist within our environment and some recommendations on how to remediate those. Most of that, I think, really is more directed at David's role, right? So he wants to kind of understand his security state. He wants to apply policy, monitor compliance of resources against that policy. For Jeff, though, I think what's most helpful, Jeff, the workload owner, is a set of recommendations. So here we surface a prioritized list of all of the security issues that were identified so that Jeff can readily understand what he needs to do and to prioritize his work. When he completes this list of recommendations, he knows that his environment is secure. And you'll see many of the same recommendations that we saw just a moment ago, but again, just in this kind of quick prioritized view. And he'll just see here recommendations that relate to the resources that he's an owner or contributor of. So if he has access to those resources, he'll see them here. So it's really kind of a tailored to-do list designed for the cloud workload owner. There's one additional recommendation I wanted to show here. That prints tiny from up here. Here we go. One other thing I wanted to show is the integration with Qualys includes both the streamlined provisioning part, but just like with our other solutions where we pick up automatically alerts or signals, in the case of our new vulnerability assessment integration, we also integrate vulnerabilities that were identified by that system. So here in this to-do list, you see not only vulnerabilities or issues that were identified by Microsoft, but also from partner solutions that you may have deployed. So you get them all in one list here. In addition, with those partner solutions, you also get some high-level monitoring and basic configuration control. So we can see at a glance what partner solutions we have running in our environment, and we can click in for additional information and basic management. So here, for example, I could link additional virtual machines to the Qualys or kind of deploy the Qualys solution for those virtual machines. We can delete the solution. And I can also link over directly to the solution management console for Qualys. So the idea here with Security Center is that we make it easy for you to provision, monitor, and integrate alerting from these partner solutions. But we don't expect that we're going to replace those partner solutions, right? Those you'll likely need to continue to leverage for advanced configuration or advanced management kinds of functions. But we just make it super easy for you to access those. You get the high-level view of the health state of those, you can do some basic management, and then you have ready access to click over to use those existing management solutions for advanced configuration. Okay, so we're going to shift gears here for a minute, and we're going to talk about early threat detection and how Security Center not only helps you to identify those threats, but also provides you with the insight and information that you need to quickly remediate. So Security Center is designed to detect a range of threats, those that are known as well as those that are unknown. And it does that by applying a different set of analytics. First, it's leveraging threat intelligence. You'll probably hear throughout this conference about the vast amount of global threat intelligence and insight that we have here at Microsoft. It is absolutely one of our strongest assets. And so we're leveraging that intelligence to look for known threats impacting your environment. So, for example, we can see if there is network communication inbound or outbound from a known malicious actor. We can alert on that. We can see that there's a known malicious process that's being executed. We're also doing behavioral analysis. So here we're looking for known patterns and malicious behaviors. So what's an example of some of those? This would be like a process being executed in a suspicious manner, and there are lots and lots of mechanisms that can be employed to do that. You see service host running from an unusual location or duplicates. There are all kinds of particular behaviors that are often associated with attackers trying to execute code on a system without being detected. And so we have a number of mechanisms that we're employing to look for those patterns of behavior that likely indicate a threat. We're also making extensive use of machine learning. So here we're using statistical profiling, we're building out historical baselines, and we're learning when we see deviations from those baselines that conform or that align with potential attack vectors. An example of this is that we're monitoring network traffic, and we can see, for example, that if your organization has, on average, you know, 5 RDP access connections a day, today there were 100. That's likely an indication of an attack, and we can alert you based on that. That's a very simplified version. We're making really extensive use of machine learning and a variety of different detection algorithms. There are those partner alerts that I mentioned earlier, so integration with firewall and endpoint protection and anti-malware solutions. So getting all of those into one place so we can do this thing that we call fusion. So the idea behind fusion is connecting the dots between seemingly standalone alerts to provide a customer with fewer, higher fidelity, more actionable security incidents. So I talked very early on in the presentation about the challenge that we see in security where organizations are being inundated with these often low fidelity alerts that require time and energy and resources to investigate and triage and respond to. And ultimately, many organizations just simply don't have the resources or the internal expertise to do that effectively. And as a result, attacks are going undetected for an average of 229 days. I think it's the latest number that I saw. So the idea behind Fusion is, again, to provide fewer, higher fidelity alerts. And we do that by connecting the dots between these alerts, mapping them out across the kill chain, and providing you with one incident. And we'll look at some examples of that here in just a moment. We'll look at some examples, but I can give a couple quick ones here before we move on. An example might be that we see a failed brute force attack. Not necessarily an indication of attack, but not necessarily of a compromise. It's not really actionable for you, or not super actionable anyway. But if we put that together with then some anomalous activity that we're seeing on that targeted virtual machine, together we can create, again, a more actionable, higher fidelity incident. So I talked about mapping these alerts across the kill chain. We really need to be looking from a security perspective, not just at preventing attacks, which we'd love if that was possible, but we know as attackers continue to innovate that we have to do more than that. So we're looking at that very, very early stage as organizations target and execute those initial attacks. And there we're looking for inbound RDP brute force attacks, SSH attacks, and then we just recently added SQL attacks as well. We also then have visibility into application and DDoS attacks through our integration with web application firewalls, and insight into intrusion detections through our integration with next generation firewalls. So we have a lot of visibility at the very early stages in that kind of target and attack phase. As an attacker moves into installation and exploit, we have a number of different methods or techniques that we're employing to detect threats there. First, of course, we have visibility to known malware signatures. That's through our integration with anti-malware and endpoint protection solutions. We have a very unique capability that enables us to do in-memory or detect in-memory malware and exploitation attempts. So for many, many years, Microsoft has been collecting Windows error reports, lots and lots of them over time. And doing some analysis on that, the team realized that those often were the indication of brittle malware or failed exploitation attempts. And so they built out a set of analytics that they're applying to crashes from your Windows virtual machines to detect these kinds of threats. And there are many, many instances where they've been able to detect threats that very, very few other malware solutions were aware of yet. And so this is really just an incredible and unique set of capability that we have here at Microsoft to be able to do that in-memory, to detect that in-memory malware. So I talked a bit earlier about looking for suspicious processes. Again, we have a number of different techniques that we're employing to do that. We're also looking for lateral movement. You know, once an attacker, you know, gets access or compromises your environment, they often want to start moving laterally within that environment to compromise other resources or to embed themselves or persist within that environment. And so there are a number of mechanisms or techniques that we're checking for, looking for here as they try to execute, you know, or to move laterally or to perform internal reconnaissance to find those high-value assets, your customer database, or you know, whatever it is that they're looking for. And then finally, post-breach. As the attacker, you know, starts to take action toward their original objectives, we're monitoring for outbound communication to known malicious IP addresses. And again, this is based on that global threat intelligence that we have. We're also looking for, I'll take a step back. In many cases, in the cloud, one known objective for attackers is to leverage the compute horsepower to execute other attacks. And so we're looking for some of the more common things that we see there, things like SSH, outbound SSH and RDP brute force attacks, outbound port scanning. We just rolled out today some new capabilities that enable us to look for DDoS activity and clustering that often is associated with botnet activity. So we're doing lots of things to look for the kinds of actions that an attacker might take once they've compromised resources in an environment. One other interesting case that I'll point out here is being able to detect spam. So sometimes attacker will compromise a resource and they'll use that to execute spam campaigns, right? So what we're doing is leveraging machine learning to look for anomalies in SMTP traffic. That's great, but it could be that traffic is the result of a legitimate email campaign. And we really want to keep the noise down. We don't want to create more noise for you. And so we're taking that, any instances where we see that increased level of SMTP activity, and we're comparing that to data from Office 365, who has a ton of insight into who's sending spam. So by connecting the dots between Azure and Office 365, we can do a much more effective job helping you to detect if you have a resource inside your environment that's compromised and being used to send spam. So we're not stopping there with that set of attacks. We have a team of security researchers and data scientists who are constantly monitoring threat intelligence. They're sharing signals and analysis and insights across Microsoft products and services. This is something, again, I think you'll hear lots about the security intelligent security graph and these capabilities and insights that we have across Microsoft. But I think we've seen a couple of examples. The Office one is a great example of where we really are really harnessing the power of Microsoft to more effectively detect threats on behalf of our customers. And so we are constantly sharing insights across those teams, comparing the kinds of activities that we're seeing, looking at how we can leverage insight from one place to benefit another. So really, it's exciting the amount of integration and work that's going on behind the scenes across Microsoft teams. And that's with different products and services. We also specialize security teams within Microsoft, right? So we have folks that are working on Azure Forensics or web attack detections. And so we're constantly working with those teams. And you'll see lots of those things become surfaced as part of Azure Security Center. So we often start with those insights and learnings that we got by trying to protect the Azure platform. And then we, as part of Security Center, are finding ways to expose those to help you protect the stuff that you're running on top of the platform. And so we have lots of ongoing discussions with those internal teams to figure out what are they doing, what's proving to be effective, how can we expose that to customers. And so all of this work culminates in new detection algorithms, and once those are released, they go through a pretty rigorous validation and tuning process. So again, we don't want to create more noise. We want to provide you with those high-fidelity, actionable alerts. And so we work directly with customers to validate these new detections as they're rolled out. And as part of that, we often discover new insights that help us. So it's a bit of a continuous process there, where we roll out and tune these things through that effort. We gain new security insights that kind of get fed back into the process. The great thing about Azure Security Center as a cloud service, you don't have to worry about deploying updated signatures. The system is constantly, or we are constantly rolling out new and refined detections. And so you just get the benefit of those. You don't have to worry about applying updates or, you know, that's an issue you just don't have to worry about. As we detect or release new algorithms, you have the benefit of those instantly. So I want to move on and take a look at a demo. And as we talk about roles again, here we're really thinking about the security operations side of things. So in this case, it would be Judy, who's more of the frontline person, as well as Sam, who's that security analyst, who may need to do deeper investigation kind of activities. So we're going to return to Security Center, but we're going to focus this time on the bottom half here in the security alerts. So what we're seeing here is a prioritized set of security alerts, as well as some incidents. And we're going to start by taking a look at the incident. So again, an incident is a collection of security alerts mapped out across the kill chain, which indicate one attack campaign. We recently rolled out today's Monday. We rolled out today the ability to include partner alerts as part of these incidents. So the first one that we're looking at here, the SQL injection, is actually an alert from a web application firewall that was deployed in the environment. So again, we're beginning to fuse that. This particular alert is related to one resource, but in the next week or so, we'll also release the ability to fuse alerts across resources. So if we detect some lateral movement, we see the same or similar kinds of activity on two machines in a similar time period, we can combine those for you as well. So you get the benefit of that insight. So we see that the attack campaign started with a block SQL injection attempt. We know that because we've integrated the alert from the web application firewall. It's interesting, but not necessarily actionable, right? The attack was blocked. Then we see that there's a failed RDP brute force attack. So here we're leveraging machine learning and have detected some anomalous login attempts and are alerting on those here. Again, not particularly actionable as a standalone alert. You'll see it's a low severity here. But to understand, again, kind of building out this kill chain certainly has value. We see then that they were successful. And here we're using virtual machine logs to understand that. So we see that some failed attempts followed by some successful attempts. Then we see some suspicious service host activity. So we see in this case that it was executed from an unusual location. We can see here that multiple domain accounts were being queried. So in this case, the attacker is trying to move laterally within the environment to compromise additional accounts. And then finally, we see as the attacker moves into those final stages, they're beginning to exfiltrate data or some other kind of related action on their objectives. We see network communications out to a known malicious IP address. We get some insight into what happened, what resources were impacted, and then we just released today very, very cool threat intelligence reports. So here we see a very detailed information about this known malicious actor. So we can see what's known about their objective. So you could see if they're after customer data or credit card data or ransomware. So you can get some insight into what the likely objective of this particular attacker is. Also information and insight about their known tactics and techniques that you can use to inform your security response process. So I think this is very exciting. I know that a lot of organizations see the value in threat intelligence, but actually applying that and making use of it inside your organization can be really, really hard, right? So here you get threat intelligence when you need it in the context of an active threat. And then you can use that information, again, to sort of inform your approach to investigation and response. You can do smarter investigation if you have these insights and information. And so we see the prioritized set of alerts that Judy can use. We see the detailed information that would be useful to a SAM, a security analyst, who's responsible for really investigating exactly what happened and evicting the attacker. We're going to shift gears and talk a little bit about analyzing, visualizing, and integrating data. So we talked early on about how really across all of these roles, it's really important to get access to these insights and information in our existing workflows and to be able to leverage our existing investments and tools. And so there are a number of different ways that a customer can do that, that you guys can do that. First, you can integrate health status or recommendations into a workflow management system or change management system that you may be using, using the REST APIs that are available. The same on the alerting side. So you could get access to all of those alerts and integrate those into your security information and event management system if you have one, or incident response system. So you have the benefit of having access to and being able to integrate insights from Security Center into these existing processes. Then for security information and event management systems in particular, we recently rolled out the Azure Log Integrator, which enables you to, in near real time, sync data from Azure into your existing security information and event management system. So how does this work? So these insights in Azure can be accessed through REST APIs. And in some cases, through the log data is placed directly into your storage accounts. And that's the case with like Azure Diagnostics. So the Log Integrator is a client that's installed on a virtual machine, either on-prem or in Azure. And it's talking to those Azure APIs or collecting the security events from your storage account. It's hydrating those on this virtual machine and getting them into a standardized format that can be picked up in most cases by your existing, by your SIEM's existing log connectors. So ArcSight and Splunk and others have a set of kind of standard connectors that are used to pull in data. And so in most cases, the Azure Log Integration will work out of the box with these different security information and event management systems. There are some cases where there may be a little bit of additional configuration that's required, and by configuration I mean there's a custom configuration file that will need to be provided as well, and that's available as part of our documentation. So this feature is in preview as of a month or so ago, but I know it's really proved already to be helpful for a lot of customers, again, as they want to get this data into their current security management workflows. And then we also offer some Power BI dashboards, and we have a couple different pivots on those. First is just providing you with insight into which particular resources are being most targeted. You could see those resources that have unaddressed recommendations for more than a certain period of time. So for example, we know that a lot of organizations patch on a regular cadence, and so maybe seeing unpatched systems today is helpful, but not as useful as seeing those that have been unpatched for more than 30 days, for example. So you can get that data into Power BI, and you can pivot it in some interesting ways to gain some additional insights. There also, though, is a dashboard view that provides insight across subscriptions. And that will show you things like what is the monitoring state of your different subscriptions? Do they have data collection turned on? Do they have which subscriptions are most vulnerable based on the number of threats or the number of vulnerabilities that are identified? So it gives you more of a company-wide Power BI view that you can use to gain some insights into the organizational security posture, and also perhaps to identify some particular resources that. That may be particularly vulnerable, require a little bit of follow-up on the part of the IT team. So let's talk a little bit about why Security Center. First, we think that this integrated approach that we've taken to security really is helpful for you. You know, this one place where you can manage security across all of your subscriptions. You know, it's built right into Azure, so you know, native to the solution. Provides a seamless deployment and monitoring of not only those built-in or native controls, but also solutions from partners, and enables you to access this information in a variety of different ways. It also enables you to take advantage of that Microsoft intelligence and expertise. You've probably seen, again, if you were able to catch any of the keynotes today, the amount of insight that we have across not only our products and services, but the Digital Crimes Unit, the Incident Response Center, the Cyber Defense Operations Center has a team with really unique expertise in cloud-based threats. So really a lot of intelligence and expertise that go into building and defining these detection algorithms. And then finally, speed, scale, and savings. You know, there's zero setup here. There's zero setup. You just launch Security Center from the Azure portal, and you get instant insights. And if you want to take advantage of the threat detections, you just have to go in and turn on the 90-day trial of the standard version. So there's no provisioning of hardware. There's no worry about, you know, log scale. Do you have enough room in your SIM? You just don't have to worry about those things. You get, you know, seamless scale, visibility across workloads as they change. So from a management and monitoring perspective, it certainly simplifies. We hope that it simplifies your life. And then also, you know, really significant cost savings. Not only is the basic monitoring of your security controls free, it doesn't get any better than that, but then also, if you think about the time and resources that are required to set up and monitor and manage and build out these dashboards, with all of that kind of being available out of the box, we think that there's significant time savings there. Also, it pulls together the vulnerability assessment or kind of the monitoring and policy part with the threat detection part. And if you had to kind of cobble together all of these different solutions, you'd find that it could be pretty costly, and not only in terms of hard dollars, but also in terms of effort and time. So we talked a lot about Azure Security Center, of course, but I also want to talk a little bit or kind of give you a preview of where we're headed, and that is to extend the same set of capabilities that are built into Azure to all of your data center environments, whether they reside on-premises, in Azure, or maybe even in other cloud service providers. And so we are enabling those capabilities through the security solution that's built into the operations management suite. And we get some additional benefit through that. So the OMS solution, again, provides visibility across these different environments, which we know is so important and helpful. And it also provides access to those raw logs and really rapid search of those. So you get the benefit of out-of-the-box detections and incidents, but also access to that raw log data that you can use to search and perform more advanced investigation if desired. So you really get the benefit of both that raw data and the out-of-the-box kind of actionable insights. And we're doing that by pulling together the Security Center and the OMS security solution. And as of today, you can even buy those as one solution as part of the OMS security and compliance solution, or as part of the OMS E2 suite. And you'll see over time more and more integration across those two services. Even today, the OMS security solution uses the same analytics engine that's powering Security Center detections. And so, you know, again, kind of getting the benefit of those same detections we talked about in Security Center across all of your resources, regardless of where they reside. Friends in the graphic team added a couple of resource slides for us. Oops. I'm going to take a moment for questions, but I just want to make sure you're aware that the evaluation is available and encourage you to take a moment to provide feedback, especially if you thought the session was good. And then also wanted to point out some other sessions that, I highly recommend you attend if you're interested in this area. First, there will be a Security Center Theater presentation. There are a couple of different times and dates for those. But also the Operations Management Suite team, those folks that are working on that security solution, have a couple of sessions dedicated to security inside of OMS, and I encourage you to take a look at those. And then finally on Thursday, there's one that's dedicated to incident response and looks across both OMS security and Azure Security Center. So I'll leave that up, but we do have some time to take questions. So I'd encourage you to please step up to the mic if you have a question for me.